everybody. I'm Ted Rozdowski, senior editor of Premier Guitar, and I have the privilege of being here today with Devin Allman. Devin has brought his band, the Devin Allman Project, to the Exit Inn in Nashville, and he's going to show some great guitars. But first, how are you, man?
I'm good, man. It's good to see you in person.
Right?
We've been doing business for years and years and years.
Exactly. Yak it on the phone.
Yeah, it's good to meet you in person. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you very much for being here.
Absolutely.
And let's see, you mentioned that you had some of your dad's guitars.
Yeah.
Start with one of those?
Yeah, we'll start. So this is the guitar vault we had built for Alden, my guitar tech. St. Louis Cases made it.
And you also made this great tech booth over here.
Yeah,
too,
we had this one made as well. It's the same company, St. Louis Case. Highly recommend. They'll make anything from scratch to your specs. So this one's cool. It's got the built-in tuner. It's got electric. It's got light. He's got a workstation on top, and then storage for everything. This is backup pedals, backup cables, strings, all that. This is all guitars, and then straps are usually in here. We've got some custom straps that my dad left me.
Oh, very nice.
That are really cool. That's the Eat a Peach strap. The brass ring strap that I play and Dwayne Allman played. It's really cool, classic. And then this one.
Piece of rock and roll history.
Yeah, these are all so badass. These are all made by Zeebo out of Chicago. And man, he's been making them for 50 years. So the guitars, this was Dad's number one acoustic. This is a Johnny Cash model Martin. And this thing just plays like butter. It's just a great guitar. So if you saw my dad play Melissa or Midnight Rider in the last 10 years, it was
on that guitar.
It was this guitar.
Yep, and that guitar in particular, do you know what year it's from? Or?
You know, I don't. I know that it's about 10 years old. He had always wanted one, and he had, you know, eventually got one and just never put it down. It was very loved, and it's nice to play it for people and not have it be in a museum or a Hard Rock Cafe or whatever.
Yeah.
I really wanted to keep it playing for the people. We have an intruder here.
And we heard it during sound check. It sounds great.
Yeah, it's really got a really sweet tone to it. And then this is his 61, but I believe the neck is a 50s. So we still have yet to kind of, you know, authenticate it, but it's definitively a vintage piece. You know, Frankenstrat. He did change out the pickups, but I have the originals. This thing is a monster guitar.
Do you know what kind of pickups are in there now?
I don't. I don't know what he put in there. It was a boutique company, a real small company, that he was friends with the dude. But even the anodized gold pick guard he's had on this guitar since. And I didn't realize how many guitars my dad had. He had 43 and he left them all to me.
Excellent.
And when I saw this one, I was like, you're the man.
That's the one.
You know,
this is
the one.
Yeah, and it looks like it's been refretted with jumbos or medium jumbos.
I think they're medium jumbo, yeah.
So,
but it's a great piece. It's super fast. And
do you ever use a whammy bar on that, or is that locked down?
I don't. Yeah, we have it blocked.
Okay.
It's a great guitar. I wondered like how long he's had it or when he played it. And I found a deluxe edition of Brothers and Sisters. Mm-hmm. And I opened it up, and it almost looked like a DVD kind of case. And you open it up, and it folds out to like this wide. And it's them jamming, and he's playing that guitar. And
cool.
I was like, okay.
Cool.
This is a Robbie Krieger I just picked up. I think they only made 100 or 200 of these. About 01, I want to say. Robbie Krieger SG, this thing's a monster. When we do play some Allman Brothers songs, which we only do a few per night, you don't want to do too many.
Right.
You don't want to not do any.
Yeah, you want to honor your legacy.
You know, yeah. So when we do Dreams or One Way Out, I pick out this SG, and it's a nice guitar.
It is beautiful. What kind of pickups are in that, do you know?
I don't know. It's an 01, so yeah, I'm not sure whatever came with it. I want to say they're like PAFs, I believe. I would have to look that up, but this one's really, really cool. Kurt Linhoff, that's a Linhoff Telecaster. And Kurt Linhoff is the guy that sold Dwayne Allman his Tobacco Burst Les Paul. And then in the late 90s, early 2000s, he started making these Teles, and they say pre-Nixon electrics, so they're designed to be like the late 50s, early 60s Teles. I think he only made about 150.
And this is obviously another one of your dad's guitars.
No, he gifted this to me. Kurt,
he did?
Kurt did.
Oh, cool.
On my first tour, he came out in Denver, and this cat had an insane collection of guitars and amps. I mean, he was just, he passed away recently, it was sad, but But this thing's a monster.
I like that there's a humbucker in the neck.
Yeah, no, it's such a monster. And I think Keith Richards has three of them. He made only about 150. And I think half of them are in the hands of, like, you know, real dudes.
Did he custom wind his own pickups or?
Don't know. No, I have no idea what went into
really
this.
The contours are great. Looks very comfortable.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, it's got that scallop.
Yep.
It's a wonderful piece. So I play this on quite a bit of stuff. That's it on guitars and straps and cases.
Cool. Yeah. Well, should we wander over to the pedal board in the amp?
Let's do it.
All right. Okay, so now we're going to take a look at your board here, and
yes,
also
sir.
This Victoria amp that you're playing through. You know what? Why don't we talk about the amp a little bit first? Which model Victoria is this? How did you end up working with Victoria, and what do you like about it?
You know, I was at House of Blues Chicago on an open mic night with some buddies just hanging out, and they asked me to come up and play, and I plugged in, and I hit one. And I was like, what's that? And he goes, oh man, he goes, don't fall in love with that. They're really expensive. I want to say they're like $6,000 or something. It's their 212. And so I thought about it about a year later. I was going in to make a record and I was like, I'd really like one of those amps. And I bought a 112 and I've made 5 records with that 112.
Great.
It just sounds amazing. So I was like, well, why not play them live? And I called them up and they hooked me up with an endorsement. And this is their, I think it's just their 212. Is it Golden Melody? I hate that I should have done my homework before this. I want to say it's, where's Alden? Is Alden around? He's in the back? Okay.
Well, it's it is a great looking and sounding amplifier. It's really
I want to
cool.
say it's Golden Melody. I forget. I mix up like model names and stuff like that, but it's their 212. The thing sounds great. Really cool for the Strat, great on the Tele too, but.
Do you know what kind of speakers are in there?
I do not.
Okay.
Nope. You could take a look if you
want. I'll take a look.
Yes.
Let's see. Well, you know what? I won't. I don't want to mess with that because it's wrapped up in cables back there, and I don't want to unplug
it. It's funny with me because like I'm more of a song nerd and a band nerd than like a gear. Like I know I like good gear, but I don't know like all the particulars. I couldn't tell you anything other than it sounds great.
Well, I know you said you love the way it sounds, and you were,
yeah.
and someone said don't fall in love with it because those are really expensive. But the thing is, I believe you should own the amp you want to own,
man, it's,
no matter what,
it's
your
bad boy.
Sound and it's your soul, and that is the
totally.
Way you're speaking through the guitar.
Totally.
So I totally dig that.
Yeah, man.
Talking about speaking through the guitar, these guys modify the language a little bit.
Yeah,
you've got
yeah.
a pretty basic board, but it's cool. Let's talk about it.
It's really basic. I run the clean a lot on the amp, and then when I want a little grit, I go over to the Analog King here.
Yep, King of Tone.
King of Tone. And then if I want a little more for like a lead, I can hit that. And then I'm running this delay as well. That's a vintage one.
Yeah,
but it's been kind of redone by
it's the DM2W. It's the Wazacraft version of the vintage.
Exactly.
Yeah, and those are just really great reliable pedals.
It's cool. It just gives me a little tail if I want a little sauce. So dig that, and then the old CE2, which is just the classic from, Purple Rain to Come As You Are, Nirvana, like it's that classic. Yeah, a lot of Cure.
Yep.
So use that a little bit for a little sauce, and then we got the LR bags for the acoustic, which has been great. It just sounds really, really natural. Sounds real feathery, real sweet.
Yep, and the near ubiquitous, always reliable Pedal Power 2 Plus, the Voodoo Lab.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
And the TU3, I think, right? A little extra light down there on the chromatic tuner.
Yep.
Cool, man.
Yep, and I'll burn through about one of those a year.
Now, if there was...
I've got a graveyard of them. I got probably 20 of them.
If there was one other pedal you were going to put on that board, do you have any idea what it would be?
It would be a wah.
But
I've tried to get away from it. Wah can tend to be kind of a crutch,
Mm-hmm.
I started out as a rhythm player, so I've only been playing lead about 10 years. You know, and I'm 46, so I started lead really late in life. And at first, wah was like a good way to just, you know, just kind of like waffle around with it. But I've tried to really get away from it and really concentrate on my playing. So
cool.
But you know, man, they're fun.
Yeah, they are. I love what Freddie King used to do with the wah, which is just step on it and cock it down to
yep.
So get that raw, get that, ribbon attenuated
that guttural
tone.
Yeah, yeah, that's really like, cool. For sure.
He was mean. Well, thank you so much, man.
Man,
it's
my
great
pleasure,
to see
man.
You. Really enjoyed this.
Thank you, man. Thank you, brother.
Well, we're still at the exit in. We haven't gone anywhere since the last time we talked to Devin. I'm with Dwayne Betts now, and we're going to be talking about the guitars that he's brought on this tour, which is bringing both of them together. And again, we catch the band at a really interesting time because these guys have been friends for decades, I think, at this point, right?
Yeah, we've known each other for quite a while, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's fair to say.
And they're at the point of forming a new band that's going to have a record out in March or April of next year?
April or, yeah, around there.
Cool.
In the spring.
Cool,
yeah.
And that'll be the Almond Betts band.
Yeah, we just finished that. Devin probably mentioned we recorded that in Muscle Shoals.
Awesome.
Yeah,
which studio were you in?
Alabama. Sound. Muscle Shoals Sound.
Cool.
Muscle Shoals Sound. Yeah.
Cool. Great place.
Yeah.
This is an awesome looking guitar. It's a cool looking gold top.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
I mean, this is the guitar that I play most of the time. This is my dad's signature model, but this is the actual prototype. The first one.
Nice.
And there were several of them, and I wound up with this one. He played this one for a while, and something happened to mine. I won't get into that, but anyway, so I ended up with this one.
Okay. So this was built at the Gibson Custom Shop here in Nashville.
I reckon.
And it's got this very cool patina, which I guess is the patina that is actually on your dad's guitar, that beautiful cracking and worn finish look, really hip.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really nice guitar. It sounds great. I mean, it has a real woody kind of sound. And
yep.
For a new Les Paul, I mean, it's about the best one that, I mean, a lot of people play it and they're like, that's a damn good sounding Les Paul, you know, so.
Do you know if there are those?
It's
are
got
50s.
A bigger neck. I mean, it's after a 57.
Yep.
I would imagine.
Well,
so.
I was going to ask: are those like the 57 reissue humbuckers, or?
You know what? I'm not sure exactly what they are, but it's basically what they put in it. He didn't change it. I haven't changed it. It sounds good. They're definitely not hot pickups.
Yep.
You know, so yeah, I would say they're mimicking whatever it was back then.
Well, we heard you guys during soundcheck, and it certainly is a classic sounding gold top, especially through this Fender Super over there.
Yeah,
but we'll get to that in a bit. Yeah. Why don't we take a look at another one of these guitars?
Sure. Yeah.
You've got three with you for this tour?
I had just these two. And then I wanted this. It's a funny story. I was down at the house and I really wanted to get some of the family, you know, some of my father's guitars that, you know, were kind of family guitars, I think it's safe to say, you know, we share them. On the record that we just did. I thought, well, all these great guitars, these great sounding acoustics, I mean, there's some old 40s Martins and stuff, and I was like, man, I really want to get some of this on the record. And I didn't know what he was going to say because of traveling with them and having to send them, and he basically said, you can take anything here you can take except that one. And it was it was not the one, not the old one. It was actually just the guitar, a newer guitar that he designed that some people may have seen. It looks like an SG, but the toggle switch is up here, like a Les Paul, and the volumes are, it's not an SG, but it looks like an SG. It's thicker, it's different. But anyway, he's like, you can take any guitar you want except that one. And it was that guitar that he designed that he's so proud of that he's been playing.
That's cool.
That's what he plays now. So anyhow, so having said that, I was able to pick, and I picked this one. This is I want to say it's a 61.
Okay.
335. And it's just a beast. I mean, this thing just sounds so killer. And I never really played it until recently. And I want to play it more, and I play it every night on a few songs, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it's just such a different sound than
it looks stock, and I'm assuming that it is.
Well, this is, I mean, he changed this, of course.
If you notice
that.
Yeah, yeah. That's that
he
stuff.
Did a little, so you can get one of these guys going.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So yep. He always is very, and frankly, I am too. I like that volume knob to be, I like to use the volume knob a lot too, but not only use it, but I like to have it within reach of that pinky, you know what I mean? Sometimes it's just habit, but I like to, you know, I like to do some volume swells,
yeah,
do
volume
some pedal
swells
steel.
They're,
you know,
just great. Yeah. And I did hear you actually doing some of that during soundcheck as well.
Yeah. Probably not very well, but I was doing it.
It sounded good. I glanced up for a second. I'm up there? No, there's none. Yeah. It was you with the Strat. And speaking of the Strat, why don't you grab that?
Absolutely, yeah.
That looks like it has a lot of load miles on it.
Yeah, this is, I want to say, I've had people say it for a while. They were telling me it was a 57 or 58, but then I was with Norm in LA, Norm's Rare Guitars, and they dated it as a mid-50s because of the wood or whatever. I can't look at a guitar and just say, oh, that's definitely that year, or that's definitely not that year. I'm learning, but they were like, no, that's mid-50s. So, and it's a hardtail.
Cool.
So yeah, this guitar is just killer.
And it's also one of the family guitars, essentially?
Yeah, yeah. This is the only Strat that he played. He had, and I mean, I have other guitars that aren't, you know, that I didn't acquire through avenue.
Yeah.
You know, I've bought guitars and I've had different people give me, and they're good guitars, but if I have these guitars, I mean, these are my favorites, so I'm going to use them, you know? Yeah. So that's kind of the deal with that. But
well, it's also cool, though, because you guys are playing music that kind of draws on the legacy of both of your families.
Sure.
And you're playing instruments that do on this tour as well.
Yeah, why not? Somebody's got to use them.
Yeah. It's like living history.
Yeah, so, but he had a stacked pickup. He had, I don't know what pickup it was, but he had, up in the neck position, he had a stacked humbucker or whatever you call it, and I wanted to take it back to, I wanted it to sound like a Fender. So,
okay.
And he actually was saying, you know what, you should maybe, I had it set up this way because I was going for a certain sound, but you might want to go back and put, you know, single coil pickups in it. And I was like, well, I already did. So,
do you know what kind of pickups those are?
They were designed by a good friend of Johnny Statula, who, they're just custom pickups. It's not even a company. He just made the pickups. I don't even know the guy's name.
Cool.
But they sound good, and they were recommended through a very, you know, Johnny's not here tonight, but he's in Almond Betts band. He's our other guitar player. He plays a lot of slide. Mm-hmm. So he has to miss a couple shows because he's in Paris with his girlfriend, and we gave him a pass.
He got a pass.
But anyway, his friend,
the Eiffel Tower pass.
He recommended somebody, and they're great. It sounds great.
Cool. So. And it looks like there are different pieces in the tailpiece, too. Different.
Yeah, that's new, and this is obviously, you know, I think he bought this in the early 90s or something. He got it. And then he played this guitar around 97, I want to say. And that's the only time he's really played a Strat, like, as his guitar since, I don't know. I mean, there's pictures of him with a Strat in the very early days, like the 69 or so, but anyway, so.
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, I saw your dad a bunch of times on stage, and never with a Strat, you know?
It was around 97, he was on that for a minute, then he was on this for a minute, and he was on a Paul Reed Smith earlier, in like 94, he was on a Paul Reed Smith McCarty for a minute.
Yep.
And, you know, he was jumping around a little bit in the 90s. But
it's cool.
But yeah.
Well, break it up.
But I've had this guitar for a while, I used it, on tour with Dawes when I did the other one, and I still use it, and it's awesome.
Cool. Well, you've got that Les Paul plugged in. Shall we pull that back out again and just look at the pedal board and listen to this amp a little bit? You can tell
sure.
us about this amp?
Yeah, yeah.
The pedal, you have a very basic pedal board.
Yeah,
even,
I do.
Even more so than Devin's. You've got a tuner, a TU3. You've got the Analog Man King of Tone, like he does, and an MXR carbon copy.
Yeah, I mean, for this, I really want a pure sound. I don't want a bunch of stuff in the way. I mean, if I was playing in a different kind of band, and you know, if I was playing in a Pink Floyd tribute band. I'd have right. all kinds of stuff, but you know, and I've done that. I was, but yeah, I mean, for this, I wanna kind of keep it as simple and as pure as possible, and get the tone of the guitar and the tone of the amp.
Well,
and a little bit of a boost. Yeah, I mean, I have to have a tuner, and then a delay for like a couple things just to change it up a little bit. But sometimes I think of getting rid of that too.
Well, you mentioned the tone of the amp. Why don't we hear this amp a little bit? And then it's got a story. So why don't you tell us the story of the Zam too? Play something for us.
It down, it's not... and that's
awesome.
That's just the amp.
Yeah.
I mean, I have that to put over that, but you know, it's pretty clean. I mean, I've got about I'm on about 7 now, so sometimes I run it all the way up, but that's the sweet spot right there.
Yeah, honestly, 7 is kind of where supers really, really, really start to. I have a friend named Ronnie Earl who's a blues guitar player, and he plays through a pair of those, and they're never on less than 7.
Yeah, Ronnie's, I know Ronnie.
You're right,
like, he's great. He's actually one of my favorite blues guitar players. I went through a really big phase of listening to him when I was about 16, 17. It was after Stevie Ray died, and of course Stevie Ray is like, you know, I worshipped him. But everybody was like copying him, and I was like, I heard Ronnie Earl, and I was like, oh, well, this is interesting, because I was a kid, so I was discovering stuff, and I heard Ronnie, and I was like, well, this is kind of cool, this is different, you know, he's not like quite as, you know, shred, like he doesn't go quite as big in some ways, but he's just tasteful, and it's really good.
Yeah, his playing's beautiful. Great guy, too.
Yeah.
But this amp has a story. So why don't you tell us about it? And it's had some things change.
Well, I mean, I think this was a gift from Derek Trucks, and I may have mentioned that last time I did this, but it's just a great sounding amp. And, you know, I mean, he's a great guy, obviously, and he probably has 100 of these sitting around, but it's set up the way he sets it up. It's got you know, that channel doesn't work because there's a power tube out of it, or whatever tube you take out of it to make this channel drive harder.
Yeah, so the left channel.
So it's set up that way. He has it, you know, but it just sounds great. I love it. And what I would like to do is maybe this summer have this and then a 50 watt plexi, you know, get that sound with that and have them to jump back and forth. That's really kind of the next step for me, you know. Mm-hmm.
So would you want to run those in parallel, or you want to switch between?
Both.
Both.
I would probably either or both is what I would want. Because I used to do that. When I was really ambitious. I got ambitious for a while and I blew the... I had some amp that had reverb. It was a little like a Gibson Gold Tone or something. And I blew it up and then I didn't ever do it again. I was doing it for a while and I was setting them both up and, you know.
Hey, time to blow more stuff up.
Yeah, well, I haven't been able to blow this one up. That's why I stick with it, because it just keeps sounding great. So.
Yeah, supers are hard to destroy.
Yeah.
And you said you think there are eminent speakers in there as well, four eminent
speakers. I'm guessing. He mentioned that. I've had people, you know, I'm curious, and people have looked, and I don't know. I mean, if you can tell me.
No, I looked in the back already, and I noticed that there's just a black back.
Yeah, well, that's why
center.
I don't know.
Yep. It's the top secret speaker.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here with us tonight. Hope you have a great show tonight.
Fantastic.
And I'm really looking forward to hearing the Almond Betts band.
Yeah, man. Record. I'm looking forward to hearing it again myself. I want to hear it mixed.
Do you guys have a working title or anything?
We have a working title. I don't know if Devin mentioned it. If he didn't mention it, I'm not going to. Yeah, I don't know. It's Down to the River is what we're thinking about calling it, because of the river and Muscle Shoals. That's,
oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of the magic emanates from that river is what they say. So, and there's a song called Down to the River.
All right.
So.
Well, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, man.
Hey everybody, thanks for watching the latest Rig Rundown. Guess what? Every week we upload a brand new Rig Rundown to PremierGuitar.com a full week before it's available here on YouTube. So to get your gear fix as soon as humanly possible, go to PremierGuitar.com/Rig Rundown. And while you're there, be sure to sign up to get an email notification so you're the first to know as soon as each week's new Rig Rundown is available. Cheers, see you soon.